Thank you, Father, and thank you, Your Eminence, Metropolitan Methodius, for allowing me to speak tonight, and I'm just very pleased to share these few thoughts with all of you this evening. Sophia Orthi, proskomen, let us be attentive. We hear these exclamations many times in our liturgical life. They precede the readings of the Epistle and Gospel. Sometimes they seem superfluous. Everyone seems to know what is coming. The people stand as soon as the priest faces them with the Gospel book. This year, when we will be experiencing Holy Week through online services in our homes, we will still hear these exclamations at the beginning of the Gospel readings throughout the week. But our attentiveness will need to be increased throughout the service as we try to engage them. Doing the best we can, we should try to attend the online service as if we were in church. These shouldn't become background music while we're cooking dinner or doing other things. There's more to experience if we are attentive. To help you along the way, set a schedule, a reminder of the services you will live stream. Don't channel surf from service to service until you find the one you like more than one other. Don't lay on the couch, sit in a chair. Have your Holy Week service book in your hands. If it helps, light a candle, light some incense, dim the lights, but calm everything down. The story of Holy Week, the Passion and the Resurrection of Christ, is observed in our churches through the beautiful, multifaceted, multisensory experience of our liturgical life. It is a week of icons, of processions, of candles and incense, of flowers and decorations. These tangible expressions of our tradition are meant to draw us into the reality and the mystery of faith, that Jesus, the Son of God, died for our sake and rose on the third day, trampling death by death, giving life to those in the tombs. While we may be hearing the hymns, the chanting, we are meant to be listening, listening attentively to the words that are being read and being sung. In the course of a single service, we will listen to psalms, hymns, and readings from the Old and New Testaments. The readings are for us to follow. The hymns, of course, are sung to melodies that have been part of our tradition for centuries. Many are well known and sung by the faithful. So this Holy Week, sing them. And singing them means we are being engaged with the words themselves. Of course, by listening to the words from Scripture, we will hear the story of the Lord's Passion and Resurrection. That is central. Did you know that the Passion sections of the Gospels are their longest sections? The New Testament readings tell us the story. The Old Testament readings help us make connections, especially pointing out that what we are hearing about Jesus was predicted and is evidence that he is the Anointed One, the promised Messiah, the Almighty Son of God. And it is in the hymns that the stories and prophecies will be interpreted for us. And they do this in beautiful poetry and language. Let me highlight some of what we will hear. When we listen attentively, we will notice that many of the hymns are written for us. We are the ones speaking to Christ. They often include I or my or we. Notice these examples. I behold your bridal chamber, ton nymphona su vlepo, or beware, O my soul. They often address us with phrases such as, come, you faithful, or let us. They are usually in the present tense, inviting us to be present at the events, in the moment, as it were. Our hymns are often written in the voice of figures from the story, from Scripture. It's a way of expanding the story, going beyond what a few lines from the Bible can tell us. They often help us understand what is happening there, interpreting the story for us, telling us what this means for us and for our salvation. To do this, the hymns often express what the figure of the story is thinking about as the events unfold. This technique, as it were, was an important element of ancient Greek and Byzantine education, to ask a student to deliver a speech of a person witnessing an important event. The authors of our hymns knew this technique and utilized it in their hymnology. Let's consider a few examples. On Holy Tuesday evening, we will hear the following. Today, Christ comes to the house of the Pharisee, and a sinful woman approached him, falling at his feet and crying out, behold me, engulfed in sin and in despair for my deeds, and yet not despised by your goodness. Grant me, O Lord, the remission from evil and save me. Who's speaking here? It's the sinful woman we encounter in the story of the Gospel of Luke in chapter 7. The Gospel states that a sinful woman greeted Jesus in the house of a Pharisee, wiped the feet of Jesus with her tears and her hair, pouring an ointment on them. The hymn I just quoted puts words in her mouth as she does this extraordinary act of humility and contrition. Of course, the supreme example of what the woman may have said to Jesus is the hymn at the end of our Holy Tuesday evening service, the hymn of Cassiani. One of my personal favorites is a hymn of Good Friday during the Vespers, the Apokathilosis. This Vesper service contains some of the oldest elements of our Holy Week observances. During the procession with the Epitaphios icon, Joseph of Arimathea is speaking to Christ. He says to him, how shall I array you for burial, my God? What dirges shall I chant for your funeral? The hymns masterfully contain entire dialogues between individuals from the story. On Holy Thursday evening, between the 8th and the 9th Gospels, we will hear the Apostle Peter say, O Master, cried Peter, a profane word shall never fall from my lips. Even if all deny you, I will gladly die with you, for not flesh and blood, but your Father has revealed you to me, you whom all creation blesses, glorifying to all ages. The very next two hymns so elegantly continue the conversation. Jesus speaks in them, and he replies to Peter. We can imagine this series of hymns being sung by two different voices or two different choirs, providing us with a great sense of drama in the exchange. This pattern continues in other services as well. The Lamentations provide us with a very powerful example. The Lamentations hymns are based in the lament of Mary, his mother. When we look carefully at the Epitaphios icon, Mary cradles the head of Christ in her lap. She will wash his face and cover it with the burial cloth. We can just begin to imagine the emotions that she is experiencing at that moment. And the Lamentation hymn offers us her words. Listen to this. When the most pure virgin saw thee prone, O Logos, a mother's dirge she sang thee. O my sweet springtime, O my son beloved, whither doth fade thy beauty? The famous O glikimu ear. But the dialogue continues. A few verses later, Jesus replies to her, Lament not, O mother, I endure the passion to set free Eve and Adam. To which she continues in the very next verse and says, O my son, I praise thee. The good news of Christ was first shared person to person through oral communication, preaching. Hearing the news was essential. Listening carefully and remembering the news so that it could be shared with others. In fact, the expectation of our ancient forebears was that after just one or two hearings of something, they would have committed it to memory. This year, deprived of many of the other sensory experiences of Holy Week in our parishes, listening and paying attention will be perhaps more important than ever before. Thank you.